Several years ago, Tracy and I, we were going to India on a mission trip. And it just so happened that on our trek to India, we had a 24-hour layover in Paris, France. So we went and did sightseeing all over Paris. One of the places we went to was the Louvre. And guys, you can put up the picture. The most famous picture there in the art gallery, and I was blown away. I have never been into an art gallery like there in Paris. They have whole walls, I mean like as long as a football field, of one single painting. They have ceilings that are just big, humongous paintings. And then you come to the Mona Lisa, most visited painting in the world, most written about painting in the world, most copied painting in the world. You know, drawn by Leonardo da Vinci, 1503, best known painting in the world. So Tracy and I are walking in Paris, speaking no French, no one in the whole city. We're walking through there looking at all of these paintings. I'm like, I want to see the Mona Lisa. We get there, and you got whole ceiling paintings, whole wall paintings. And I put that one up there so that you could see the size of the Mona Lisa. It's small. It's like 30 by 21. And I'm like, yo. Did the old boy run out of canvas? Did he run out of paint? This is the most famous painting in all the world. Why is it so small? It was heavily guarded. You had four guards just making sure, and it was in plexiglass and everything else, making sure Tracy didn't get too close to it. But it was small. With that said, we come to Luke chapter 1. Mary, Jesus' mother, is probably the best known woman in the history of the world. Mary, Jesus' mother, is the most popular name given to a little girl of any name in history. Her name is mentioned 51 times in the New Testament. You say, why was Mary so highly favored? She was probably, when this occurred, 13 or 14 years old. Very poor, peasant girl, extreme modest means. And yet God selected her to be the earthly mother of his son. Why? This morning, three distinguishing factors in the life of Mary. Sermon I've entitled, Jesus, Mom. First truth is this, notice Mary's selection. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Gabriel was one of the most trusted of God's angels. He was sent with the most important of messages. Now God could have notified Mary through a dream. He could have sent her a telegram. He could have written it across the sky. He could have let the birds make this announcement. God sent this message by one of his most trusted angels, Gabriel. Can you see Gabriel? The most trusted angel, and he's going to make this announcement. They have been waiting for her for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Where would he go? And God says, you're going to Galilee. And I wonder if Gabriel says, Galilee? Why not Rome? Rome's the political center of the world. Galilee? Why not Athens? Athens is the intellectual center of the world. Hey, why not Jerusalem? Jerusalem is the religious center of the world. God says, no. Go to, look at verse 26. Unto a city of Galilee, it gets worse, named Nazareth. The word Nazareth means branch or shoot or sprout. It was a small, tiny village. It had one spring for water for their population that was between 7 and 9,000 people. Nazareth was far worse than Galilee. Nazareth was known for their corruption, for their lack of education, for being uncouth. I'll let your mind figure out what that means. Nathanael said, John chapter 1, verse 46, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Gabriel, you have the greatest announcement ever. Go to Nazareth and make the announcement. Nobody remembers what went on this night in Rome or Athens or Jerusalem. The whole world remembers what went on this night in Nazareth. Look at verse 27. To a virgin, a spouse to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and this virgin's name was Mary. A virgin there means she had kept herself sexually pure. Mary, understand this, she was not sinless, but she kept herself clean and she kept herself committed to God and His ways. Every person in this auditorium, I want to challenge you to purity. Purity in your actions. Purity with your words. Purity with your thoughts. Purity. Hey, God, I'm going to live according to your words and according to your plan for my life. That's what Mary did. Here's the scene. Gabriel coming from a world where the streets of gold, coming from the world where the gates are pearl, where the walls are jasper. And God says, hey, I want you to go to Galilee. I want you to go to Nazareth. Can you see Gabriel as he comes into Nazareth? And it's not mansions. It's not middle class. He comes down across the tracks to this lower class family with this teenage peasant girl who kept herself pure for God Almighty. What did Gabriel think when he entered into the house that day and said, this house is going to house God Almighty? What did he think? Look at verse 28. Why Mary? Why a poor girl? Why a small poverty-stricken town? The angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. You see those two words, highly favored? Why Mary? Why the young teenage girl? Why her? Two words. She was highly favored. You know what that means? Pardon me, I know it's Christmas. She found grace. Why Mary? Why that town? Why Nazareth? Why Galilee? Grace. Great. Why Neil Jackson? Why you? Because God loves us. And He sent His Son to die for us. Mary didn't bestow grace on anyone. Mary received grace from God Almighty. Look at verse 29. And when she saw Him, she was troubled. I mean, she was scared to death at His saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Troubled, cast in her mind. Who? Me? You don't know who my parents are. You don't know where I come from. You don't know my lack of education. How am I supposed to be the mother of God? Verse 30. The angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." That word favor there means someone who has experienced a gracious act of God Almighty. And when He comes and He offers salvation to you, it's not because you deserved it. It's not because you've earned it. It's not because you merited it. No! Jesus came and died on a cross, and He offers you grace, 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 for one reason. Not because of you. Because He loves you. A poor teenage girl from a despised town was going to be the mother of the Messiah. Why? Well, glory! Because of grace. Amen? Number one, Mary's selection. Number two, notice Mary's son. Look at verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. One thing for God to come into the world. You read throughout the Old Testament, God had come into the world numerous times. Remember, garden in the cool of the day, God would walk and He would talk with Adam and Eve. He had come into the world. You remember with Abraham? God came, He had a meal with Abraham. There were times where God put on an appearance that He did not have to come to be born of a woman. But this time He came not only as fully God, He came as fully man. And in order to be fully man, you say, why would He have to be fully man? To die for your sin. He had to be one of us to die for us. So to be fully man, He had to be born of a woman. Look at verse 31. Thou shalt conceive in thy womb. It emphasizes His humanity. He had to be born a normal birth through the womb. Look down at verse 36. Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age. Elizabeth was carrying a child to which she would give birth, just like Mary was carrying a child that she would give birth. As John the Baptist was a normal, everyday boy, so Jesus was born the same normal way every boy is born. Luke chapter 1, look at verse 32. Here's the difference. And He shall be great. I wonder if Mary knew what those words meant. Gabriel talking to her, hey, you're going to have a boy. And Mary, he's going to be great. Jesus saw blind people and He caused them to see. He saw deaf people and He touched their ears and they could hear. He saw lame people and He said, get up and walk. Jesus saw dead people and He said, death be gone, rise. And they rose. Oh, glory, hallelujah. I know it's Christmas, but the greatness of Jesus Christ, amen. Mary's son. Look at the verse. He shall be great. And shall be called, you see that? The Son of the Highest. If you look down at verse 76, testimony of Zacharias, and thou child shall be called the Prophet of the Highest. If you go to Luke chapter 6, verse 35, it says, and ye shall be children of the Highest. Calling God Highest is to say, there is no one higher than He is. You say, why is that important? Look back at verse 32. He shall be great. and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. To say that Jesus was the Son of the Highest is to say that he bears the nature and the very essence of God Almighty. Son does not mean that God begot Jesus, who was a sub-God. Oh, they're going to put it on the screen. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times in diverse manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last times spoken to us by his Son. Notice this. Whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Look at verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory. Look at this. The express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? That baby that Mary carried in her womb for 9 months was God. Not a sub-God. Not he would. No. He was God himself. Imagine you got news from the doctor. And the doctor comes to you and says, I got good news. You're expecting. Some of you would faint away. Imagine if the doctor says, hey, and your child is going to be the future president of the United States of America. How would you respond to that news? Would you go post it on social media? Hey, guys, I'm pregnant. Y'all thought I was too old. I'm not. I'm pregnant. Oh, and my child is going to be the future. How would you respond? How does Mary respond? Mary, there's royalty in the blood. A crown's going to be upon his head. A scepter is going to be in his hand. The universe will be under his feet. He, that child in the... Don't miss this. It was not just a baby in the manger. It was God himself in the manger. Hey, that baby in your womb, Mary, is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. Mary, that's your child. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. Number one, Mary's selection. Number two, Mary's son. Number three, Mary's submission. How's she going to respond? Big news. She could have just said, nah, not interested. Lot of pressure to raise God. Not going to do it. Put yourself in Mary's position. Gabriel comes to you. You've lived a sexually pure life. And he tells you, hey, you're going to bring forth a child. And it's by God. Now, Mary knows enough about biology that she asks. Look at verse 34. Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I don't know a man? Zacharias questioned Gabriel. It was in unbelief. Not Mary. She's questioning, but it was in faith and acceptance. Hey, I've been pure. I've saved myself. How is this possible? Evidently, she had forgotten Isaiah 7:14. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Look at verse 35. Gabriel answers her. Angel answered and said unto her, glory, hallelujah. Woo! The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Mary, this is going to be a divine conception where God creates ex nihilo out of nothing. Mary, how can this be? I'm glad you asked. It is a miracle of God Almighty. Look at verse 36. Behold thy cousin Elizabeth. She hath also conceived a son in her old age.
And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Gabriel says, your cousin Elizabeth is with child, and it was a miracle. Just like her, if God can make a dead womb come alive, God can make a virgin womb come alive as well. How? 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 Gabriel's testimony has stood, who stood before the presence of Almighty God. Look at verse 37. And some of you need to circle the whole verse. Mary says, how shall this be? Look at verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Did you hear that? Some of you are struggling with your children. Some of you are struggling with your marriage. Some of you are struggling with a job. Circle that. For with God. Some of you are saying, I'm never going to get married. Circle the verse. For with God, nothing, nothing, whoo, nothing shall be impossible. The God who created the galaxies, the God who created the flowers, the God who created the oceans, Mary, he is going to put the Son of God in your womb. How's she going to respond? That's a lot of pressure. What are the girls down at the grade school going to say? No, I'd just rather continue playing Red Rosie, Red Rosie. How's she going to respond? Verse 38. Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. She could have said, I'm sorry. That's just too dangerous. That's just too hard. I'm going to pass on this one. Come back in a few years. Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. Mary's response. Here I am. I'm willing to do whatever you ask of me to do. I'm your servant. I'm surrendered. I'm submissive. Hold on a second. I'm wrapping up. Let me pull over for a second. What is God asking you to do? Don't say, well, I can't do it. Well, he's given me this outland. Why don't you just surrender like Mary? God, I'm your handmaid. I'm your servant. Whatever you want of me to do, I'll do it. I'm signing the contract before you even put down the wording. I'm all yours. You just tell me what you want. This was a costly decision. Deuteronomy 21 says she could face the death penalty for being with child without being married. She says, God, I'm in. I'm going to do your will. She's submissive. Jump down for sake of time. Some of you are worried about your roast. Look down at verse 46. Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. So much for the immaculate conception of the Virgin Mary. Verse 47, Mary says, Jesus, get this, who is in my womb, I accept as my personal Savior. Mary wasn't some co-redeemer. Mary was a sinner who needed a Savior, and she accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Have you ever done that? I'm not asking you if you're a good person. I'm not asking if you're good outweighs your bad. I'm not asking if you're a member of the church or if you've been baptized in a tank. Have you ever said, Jesus, I accept you as my Savior and I accept you as my Lord? If you say, well, I've been coming here since I was a kid, that doesn't matter. You don't go to heaven because you go to church. You go to heaven because you've accepted Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. Have you ever said, Jesus, I'm a sinner. A filthy, rotten sinner, but I believe you died on the cross for my sin in my place. and I accept you. When you accept Jesus, you accept His will and His way, and you're going to follow Him to the day you die. Have you ever accepted Jesus? I encourage you today, if you haven't, accept Him. Let me give you one more verse and I'll be done. Look at verse 38. Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Notice the last phrase. And the angel departed from her. Forgive my mind the way it works. Where did Gabriel go? I think he went back to heaven. Can you see Gabriel fly down the streets of gold in heaven, shouting, "Pardon me, I just think he might have had his staff in one hand and his hanky in the other. Hey, she accepted God's plan. Hey, I can see Gabriel. He goes through the gates of pearl, just tooting his horn, waving his hanky. She accepted God's plan. I can see him going up there to the throne of Almighty God, circling the throne of Almighty God, waving his hanky, coming and bowing down, because you always bow down when you come into the presence of Almighty God." And he bows down, he says, "Holy, holy, holy." And with his hanky, he says, "Woo! She accepted your plan." And I can see God Almighty leaning over to heaven's orchestra saying, "Boys, you better start practicing. We've got 9 months and we're going to have a birth." Why? Listen. The most unlikely of persons, God showed grace to. And she said, "Yes. Yeah, I receive you, Jesus. I receive your plan for my life, and I'm willing to do it." You say, "Hey, preacher, you don't know me. You don't know my background. You don't know what I've done. Can I come? My message today is really not about Mary. My message today is about Jesus, and my message today is about grace. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow." He comes to you, and this is his message. He's got a plan for you. He's got something he wants you to accomplish. The question is, what are you going to say? Are you going to say, "Yes, Jesus, I accept you as my personal Savior, and I accept your will for my life, and I'm going to do it completely"? That is my prayer for you today. Let's stand with heads bowed and eyes closed.